皆さん、おはようございます。よろしくお願いします。あなたに会えなくてとても寂しい。I really hope and pray that all of you are doing well, healthy and safe. And I bring you greetings from all your brothers and sisters in Indonesia churches. It is a true honor and a privilege to be given the opportunity to share to all of you this Sunday morning. Even though we cannot meet in person this time, I pray that today's message will still be a blessing to all of you. Before we get into the Word of God, let's bow our heads and pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for all your protection and blessing in our life. Even though during the pandemic time, we know, God, you are always there for us. God, we pray, God, that today and this morning as we listen to your word, we'll be inspired, we'll be encouraged, and we'll be changed. We thank you, God, once again for everything you've done in our life. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Takeshi-san told me that you are doing a series on David, a man after God's own heart, for the next 2 months. Today, I was given the opportunity to share about the famous story of David and Goliath. It is one of the most inspiring stories in the Bible, and it never failed to inspire me whenever I read it again. Why is it so inspiring? Because it is a story of courage. It's heroic. It's a story of facing giants and overcoming them. It's a story of breaking through the impossibility. It's a story of faith. But most important of all, it's a story of our awesome and amazing God. I pray today that this story would continue to remind us and to inspire all of us about the God that we worship. Let's dive into the story again in the Bible. Let's turn our Bible to 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 1. Now the Philistine gathered their forces for war and assembled at Soko in Judah. They pitched camp at Ephes Damim between Soko and Azekah. Saul and the Israelites assembled and camped in the valley of Elah and drew up their battle line to meet the Philistines. The Philistines occupied one hill and the Israelites another, with a valley between them. Verse 4, a champion named Goliath, who was from Gath, came out of the Philistine camp. His height was 6 cubits and a span. He had a bronze helmet on his head and wore a coat of scale armor of bronze weighing 5,000 shekels. On his legs, he wore bronze greaves, and a bronze javelin was slung on his back. His spear shaft was like a weaver's rod, and its iron point weighed 600 shekels. His shield bearer went ahead of him. Verse 8, Goliath stood and shouted to the ranks of Israel, "Why do you come out and line up for battle? Am I not a Philistine? Are you not the servants of Saul? Choose a man and have him come down to me. If he is able to fight and kill me, we will become your subjects. But if I overcome him and kill him, you will become our subjects and serve us." Then the Philistine said, "This day I defy the armies of Israel. Give me a man and let us fight each other." On hearing the Philistine's words, Saul and all the Israelites were dismayed and terrified. We could see from the story how Goliath and the Philistines managed to terrify the whole Israelite army. Goliath was so scary and so powerful. But God is planning something amazing to his servant David. Let's continue reading. Verse 12. Now David was the son of the Ephrathite named Jesse, who was from Bethlehem in Judah. Jesse had 8 sons, and in Saul's time he was very old. Jesse's 3 older sons had followed Saul to the war. The firstborn was Eliab, the second Abinadab, and the third Shammah. David was the youngest. The three oldest followed Saul. But David went back and forth from Saul to tend his father's sheep at Bethlehem. So who was David? He was the youngest and the eighth son of Jesse. Only Jesse's three older sons were enlisted to fight in the war. David was way too young to fight in a war. He was just a shepherd boy and served Saul as his musician. In the book of Numbers, chapter 1, verse 2, it says like this: take a census of the whole Israelite community by their clans and families, listing every man by name, one by one. You and Aaron are to count according to their divisions all the men in Israel who are 20 years old or more and able to serve in the army. See, according to the book of Numbers, only those men in Israel who were 20 years old or more were eligible to serve in the army. This means David was just a teenager. He was so young, he was not even enlisted for the war. A very young boy. In 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 33, this is what Saul said about David. Saul replied, "You're not able to go out against this Philistine and fight him. You're only a young man, and he has been a warrior from his youth." See, Saul did not want David to go out and fight Goliath. He was too young, while Goliath has been a warrior from his youth. It seemed impossible for David to win. But I really like the way David responded. And let's look how he responded to Saul. In verse 34, "But David said to Saul, 'Your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. When a lion and a bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, I went after it, struck it, rescued the sheep from its mouth. When it turned on me, I seized it by its hair, struck it, and killed it. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, because he has defied the armies of the living God. The Lord who rescued me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will rescue me from the hand of this Philistine.' Saul said to David, 'Go, and the Lord be with you.'" See, David knew he was young. He knew he was just a shepherd boy. He did not deny it. But he believed that God, and as God has helped him to kill the lion and the bear, that God will also rescue him from Goliath. David knew it's not about who he was. It's about who God was. It's not about David's condition. He knew it's about his conviction. Brothers and sisters, how often do we let our condition today dictate our lives? How easy today for us to make excuses for ourselves because of the condition that we are in or the condition that we are facing. When the pandemic started last year, see, the whole church could meet only through online. We didn't know what to expect. It was very challenging at the beginning. We were so used to meeting together and enjoyed a great time of fellowship. Now with this pandemic, how could we meet for Bible studies? How could we reach out to our friends? How could we have a great time of fellowship? How could we stay connected to one another? See, we were tempted to make excuses for the church not to grow. We were tempted to focus on our condition, not on who God is. But I'm so proud of two ministries in Jakarta Church. Two ministries that we worried the most when pandemic started. First is the teens ministry, and second is the golden age ministry. See, as we know, the teens love a lot of activities as part of the spiritual growth. And the pandemic has limited them, you know, so that the activities could only be done online. The Golden Age ministry, on the other hand, had challenges in using technology even in their day-to-day activities. They didn't know how to use those gadgets. And the pandemic forced them to rely more on technology. See, those are valid reasons and real challenges. But I really respect Rabbi and Cynthia, who lead the Golden Age ministry, and also Alex and Elia, who lead the teens ministry with their mentors. They decided to embrace the challenges they had to face. They look up to God, they lift each other up in their respective ministries. They decided to put their conviction over their condition. Even during the pandemic, God is working in a powerful way because they didn't make excuse for themselves. God has added 37 teens up to today, including those challenging ones previously. And God also has helped 16 Golden Age brothers and sisters during this pandemic time. To God be the glory. Brothers and sisters, see, it's not about who we are. It's not about our condition that we are in or the condition that we are facing. It's not about those things. It is about who God is. It is about our convictions. So let's put our trust fully in Him. Let's continue reading. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 38 to 40. Then Saul dressed David in his own tunic. He put a coat of armor on him and a bronze helmet on his head. David fastened on his sword over the tunic and tried walking around because he was not used to them. "I cannot go in this," he said to Saul, "because I am not used to them." So he took them off. Then he took his staff in his hand, chose 5 smooth stones from the stream, put them in a pouch in his shepherd's bag, and with his sling in his hand, approached the Philistine. See, Saul tried to prepare David as well as he could. He tried to equip David as much as he could. The reason is because Goliath put on a full armor. So Saul thought it's also good for David to put on the full armor. Goliath carried a sword, so David also need to carry a sword. See, this is how Saul think about how to prepare and to equip David. But David chose to be himself. As a shepherd, he was familiar with his own weapon, a slingshot and a staff. God had helped him killing bears and lions using his slingshot and staff. He believed that God has equipped him enough for the battle, even without the full armors nor the swords. See, it's not about what David should have. It's about what God has provided him. David did not compare himself to Goliath. He just need to be confident in God's provision. Brothers and sisters, have we been complaining on things that we don't have? Have we been comparing ourselves to others? How often we say to ourselves things like this: "I wish I had his competency. Only if I can do what he do. I wish I could talk like him. I wish I could lead like him, or I could lead like her. I wish my marriage were like their marriage. I wish my children were as good as their children. I wish my financial situation were just like their situation. I wish that my job is as good as her job or his job." And today, because I didn't have those things, God could not use my life. And how often we think like that. See, it's very human to compare. The grass always looks greener on the other side of the fence. But comparison always steals our joy. We should start seeing things differently. And we should start saying things differently. We need to say, the grass isn't always greener on the other side. The grass is always greener where you water it. Let me repeat this. The grass isn't always greener on the other side. The grass is always greener where you water it. See, in the past, we accepted that many matured single sisters would leave the church because of the condition and the pressure of life they had to face. Many of them were unhappy and let the worries of life control them. Many become lukewarm and became unspiritual. 12 years ago, my wife and 4 matured single sisters and single mom, like Susani, Kikis, Susie, and Hefty, were really burdened with this condition. They wanted to see a change. They prayed to God and started the Precious Women Fellowship. They believed God could use them even though they were singles and mature. They might not have spouses, but they had confidence in God. They believed God could do great things through their lives, despite what they did not have compared to other people. Let me repeat this. They believed God could do great things through their lives, despite what they did not have compared to the brothers and sisters around them. Today, we can see amazing things that God has done through them. The amazing difference God has made, you know, through what they started. They are not only faithful, but become very fruitful and fun. They also become fearless as they face challenges in their lives. They have helped many amazing matured singles and single moms to become disciples of Christ. They even spark and help building the Precious Women Ministry in many churches around Indonesia and also outside Indonesia. They are truly my heroes of faith. Brothers and sisters, let's stop focusing on what we don't have. Just like David, he did not compare himself to Goliath. He did not need the full armor nor the sword. He just had a slingshot and his staff. But for him, it's more than enough, because he put his confidence in God. Brothers and sisters, let's also put our confidence in God. God could use us with what we already have. We do not need what we don't have, but God can still use us with what we have. Just like David, let's put our confidence in God. Let's continue reading. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 48. As the Philistine moved closer to attack him, David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet him. Reaching into his bag and taking out a stone, he slung it and struck the Philistine on the forehead. The stone sank into his forehead and he fell face down on the ground. Verse 50. So David triumphed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone. Without a sword in his hand, he struck down the Philistine and killed him. David ran and stood over him. He took hold of the Philistine sword and drew it from the sheath. After he killed him, he cut off his head with the sword. When the Philistines saw their hero was dead, they turned and ran. In ancient armies, they have 3 kinds of warriors, or 3 types of warriors. The first kind, or the first type, they call it the cavalry. They are the armed men on horseback or chariots. So they're riding horses and chariots. The second type of warriors are infantry. They are the foot soldiers wearing armor and carrying shield and sword. The last one is the artillery. They are the archers and the slingers. See, just like in the game of paper, scissors, stone, the three kinds of warriors balance out one another. The infantry could stand up against the cavalry. The cavalry could beat the artillery. And the artillery could beat the infantry. From what the Bible said on the story we just read, we could figure out what kind of warrior Goliath was. He's fully armed and carried sword and shield. So, we can conclude he was an infantry. If David followed Saul's strategy and fought Goliath as an infantry, he would not win. Goliath would easily defeat David. But David did not approach Goliath as an infantry, but he approached Goliath as an artillery warrior with his slingshot. See, an experienced slinger can kill a flying bird with his accuracy. The modern record for slinging stone was set in 1981 by a guy called Larry Bray. It went as far as 437 meters. That's a long distance. Historian wrote that a slingshot was a very important weapon in ancient warfare. See, David did not know that God actually prepared him to be a great warrior by making him a shepherd. He was a very responsible shepherd. He was very protective towards his sheep, even though he did not have many to tend. He must have practiced to sling the stones a lot of times because he needed to prepare himself to fight the lions and the bears. He never knew one day God could use him to kill Goliath. Through all the challenges he had to face as a shepherd, through all the lions and the bears that he had to beat and kill, God prepared David to be a conqueror. Can we imagine today if David never learned to be a shepherd? Can we imagine if David never learned how to do a slingshot? Can we imagine if David never had to fight the lions and the bears? I believe he would not be able to defeat Goliath. We all have our giants in our life, brothers and sisters. See, God never planned for us to be defeated by our giants. God always prepared us. God always planned for us to be conquerors. But in order for that to happen, there'll be lions and bears in our lives. We need to learn to defeat them too. We need to face them. Don't run away from them. God allowed all of us here to face all kinds of challenges in our life so that one day when the real giant comes, we also know how to defeat this giant in our life too. For the past 15 years, we have been learning as a church how to build churches of small group. It was not easy. It was a long process. It took years of training, and it wasn't functioning at the beginning. And it was really, really frustrating. We always tempted to go back to our old ways of building church. It's easier to build a church driven by the full-time staff. It will do well if it's in a big group, because if it's in a big group, you do not need everyone to function. Only some would be enough. That's why it is way easier to do it in a big group. But we know that's not God's plan. We believe every small group need to function and need to be healthy. And God wants to build a church of small group. That's why we persevere. It was a long process. We did not know that God actually prepared us for this pandemic. Because of this pandemic, we had to do everything in small groups and online. But today we are so grateful to God after that long process that our small groups are now ready and functioning even during this pandemic time. God even blessed our churches with the best growth ever despite the pandemic because the small groups are functioning. We witnessed more than 650 new disciples were added in year 2020 in all the churches in Indonesia. That is our best growth ever. And to God be the glory. We never knew that God prepared us for 15 years so that when the real giant came, we knew how to build and how to face these giants. When God allows challenges in our life, brothers and sisters, let's face them. Don't avoid them. Don't run away from them, no matter how hard the challenges that we have to fight. Don't give up, because God is preparing us to be conquerors. When the lions came, when the bears came, fight them, face them, conquer them. Because when the real giant came, you will be ready. See, David did not need to know how big Goliath was, because he knew how big his God was. Brothers and sisters, we have a big God, bigger than any giants in our life. So let's remember, it's not about who David was, it's about who God was. It's not about David's condition, it's about his conviction. Let's have the same conviction like David had. It's not about what David have, it's about how he put his confidence in God. And today, it's the same thing. It's not about what we have, but it's about how we put our confidence in him. Last but not least, don't run away from the challenges. God always planned for us to be the conqueror. God knows all of us here can beat any giant in our lives. Not because of us, but because of who God is. Thank you for your attention. Hope to see you all soon. I love you all. God bless you.